All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I dropped my Bible a couple of weeks ago and broke it. And it's driving me crazy. I've got a new one. I got a new Cambridge, just like this one, exactly like this one, that I bought a couple years ago when this edition went out of print. And I saw one on a book table where I was preaching. And I said, is that a Cambridge cameo? And the guy said, well, I don't know. He said, I don't know. I said, well, how much is it? And he said, well, I don't know. And so I said, well, I want to buy it. How, if it doesn't cost an arm and a leg? And it had a $125 price tag on it. Well, that's $25 less than what they cost in the store. And so I said, well, I'll take it. He said, well, give me $25 and you can have it. So I got one in my office, but you know, this is just, this one's broken in and it's got my notes in it. I've written all over it. And I've had this one for 5 years, I think. Maybe a little longer than that, 6 years maybe. But anyway, I tried that. Didn't work. Bubble gum, that might work. Yeah, that worked on a lot of things when I was a kid, so it might work here. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's begin reading in verse 1. Verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, notice small g, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, help us tonight. I just thank you so much for your word. Thank you for what we can learn. And I pray that we will learn tonight and learn to have confidence in what thus saith the Lord. And Father, I just pray that we'll have receptive hearts and minds to receive what you have for us this evening. May the Holy Spirit be the teacher tonight, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, before I get to this, I should have told you this a moment ago. Those 19 people, I think there's probably something to that story. And there, because there is documentation that that back about a year ago, Special Ops sent a team into where they thought these people were being held. And when they got there, they encountered resistance and had to kill several people that they surprised. But when they got in, there was nobody there. So these folks are still being held. We need to pray for them and pray for the Lord to somehow or another get them free. All right, so pray for those folks. All right, now let's look tonight at what I'm going to call this, the call for a caliphate. The call for a caliphate. I read an amazing testimony a couple of weeks ago from an Arab who was raised a Sunni Muslim, and he got saved. He heard the gospel and thought about it, and the Lord dealt with his heart, and the man got saved. Now, he is a very astute fella, an intellectual man. He was very educated. He came to the States and was educated here. But he was also for 20 some years of his life a very staunch Muslim, very staunch, and swallowed the whole thing hook, line, and sinker. He was involved with Hamas and motivated by their calls, but he got saved. And when he got saved, he started reading the Bible. And when he read the Bible, it was the first time that he had ever even seen a Bible. And once he got saved and started reading the Bible, he was fascinated with the Word of God. His testimony is this: as he read the scriptures, he saw verse after verse after verse in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, which, and I'm using his words here, he saw tons of verses which, his words, described a man whom he knew well from his Muslim upbringing. He read about a man that he knew well from his Muslim upbringing. You say, what man was that? Well, the character he had learned so much about in Islam was the Islamic Messiah who is coming, called in Islam the Mahdi. M-A-H-D-I. He had learned all about the Mahdi and what he would do and the kind of person he would be, his attributes. He learned all of that through his Islamic studies and his Islamic teaching. This man, this 12th Imam, who is coming to unite all of Islam, the Sunni and the Shia, unite them together, and then lead the global jihad to make the world submit to Islam. That's what Islam means, to submit. And the word Muslim means I have submitted. So he read the Bible, and when he read the Bible, he saw all of these verses that described a man. When his testimony is, when I read about him, in this man in the Bible, who was in the Bible called the Babylonian, who is called the Assyrian, who is called Leviathan, who is called Pharaoh, who, when he got to the New Testament, is called the Antichrist. And he said, when I read the Bible, I kept thinking to myself, were these Jewish prophets and Christian apostles Islamophobes? I mean, the reason he felt that way is because the Mahdi to a Sunni Muslim is portrayed and seen as the rightly guided and awaited one. The rightly guided and awaited one. That's what they're doing right now. They're waiting on their Messiah. And to a Sunni, the word Mahdi, they understand it as the rightly guided and awaited one. The Shia Muslims refer to the Mahdi, and they understand that his name, Mahdi, means the Lord of the age. Now look at verse 4. In whom the God of this world, the Lord of the age, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, isn't that amazing? Here's a guy who was raised up in Islam. He knows what the Quran says, and he knows the teaching of the Hadiths. He knows all this. He's been schooled in all this. He learned it in the mosque. He learned it in the in elementary school. He learned it in junior high school. He learned it in high school. I mean, he knows Islam frontwards and backwards. And then he hears the gospel. He gets saved. And he's challenged to read the Bible. And he sits down and reads the Bible, and he sees the Mahdi in the Bible. The Antichrist. He sees the Antichrist in the Bible. Paul says in verse 4 that the devil is the Lord of the age, the God of this world. He is the God of this world who is blinding folks to the truth of the gospel. You just stop and think, folks, about 3.2 billion Muslims who are blinded by the devil and cannot see the truth, the light, because of the darkness that the devil has pulled over their eyes. I mean, it's just amazing to me that this man, once he knows Christ as his Savior, could sit down and read the Bible and see the truth about the religion that he was raised in, and see the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is truly the Messiah. Now, we've been hearing a great deal in the last month about this group in Iraq called ISIS or ISIL, and they have been announcing that they have a goal to reestablish the Islamic caliphate. And several of you have asked me over the last week, since I got back from vacation, you've asked me to explain to you the caliphate. Well, according to Islamic teaching, the Mahdi, Islamic Messiah, does not just show up in the last days by accident. He doesn't just show up by accident. He comes, according to Islamic teaching, to reinstate the office of the caliphate. Now, in the Hadith, it clearly states, and I'm quoting here, if you see him, this is Muhammad speaking, and it says, if you see him, go and give him your allegiance, even if you have to crawl over ice, because he is the vice regent, and the word there is khalifa in Arabic. He is the khalifa of Allah, the Mahdi. In another place, one of their prophets said, for he will pave the way for and establish the government of the family or community of Muhammad. Every believer will be obligated to support him. So that's what was drilled into the man who gave this testimony about getting saved and seeing the Mahdi in the Bible. Now, I've taught you back 3 years ago that Islam is nothing more than Christianity flipped upside down. It's just Christianity flipped upside down. And when you get over into the book of the Revelation and you have God showing John what's coming during the tribulation period. If you take the book of the Revelation and lay it here, and then you take Islamic eschatology, Islamic study of future things, and you lay Islamic eschatology over top of biblical eschatology, all the events and all the characters and all the time frame, it's all a perfect match. The only difference is the Bible's good guys are Islam's bad guys, and the Bible's bad guys are Islam's good guys. It's just reversed. It's just reversed. And so they're teaching that the Mahdi is going to be the one who pulls everybody together and who will lead Islam to go around the globe and force the world to submit or to die. Submit or die. Now, listen very carefully here. For 1,400 years, an Islamic caliphate ruled the Middle East. At the end of World War I, the caliphate, the Islamic State, and that's what this ISIS means, Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. All right? Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. And this Islamic State, the caliphate, was disbanded and disassembled when the Ottoman Empire was defeated in World War I. And when that happened, what they called the divine rule, the divine rule was ended. And along with it, the office of the caliph. That was done away with. There were all of the caliphate was disbanded, and the office of the caliph was done away with. Now, what replaced it? Well, dictators. And the dictators were put in place by the West. And these dictators became hated by the Muslims because they lived in luxury with American support and British support. And they built palaces and they hired guards and they, they lived high on the hog. And the people lived like peasants. And let me just stop here and say, and still do. They still do. And so the divine rule was ended, and the Middle Eastern countries were, the Ottoman Empire was divided up and given for the most part their ancient biblical names and their ancient biblical borders, for the most part. And now, after nearly 100 years, we are hearing rumblings for the first time coming out of the Muslim nations calling for the reestablishment of the Islamic caliphate. Now, what is a caliph? Historically, the caliph is a man who has the title as supreme political, military, and administrative leader of Muslims. The caliphs all claim succession from Muhammad, which is what the word caliph means. In Arabic, the word caliph simply means succession. It means succession. When Muhammad died, the man who took his place as the grand poobah, to use an old Fred Flintstone term, all right, the man that took Muhammad's place was a guy named Abu Bakr. And he was simply called Khalifa. Khalifa. Or successor. That's what the word caliph means. Khalifa. Successor. And so caliphate is all of the caliphs, the khalifas, over an area where the people are ruled by a successor of Muhammad who imposes and enforces Sharia law upon his region. And that's what ISIS is doing. They have gone systematically house to house, door to door in northern Iraq, where there is a large contingency of, and I put this in quotes, Christian people. All right, so what do? They knock on the door and they say, you must convert. And if you don't convert, then you have to pay the tax. None of them can afford the tax. The tax is every dime you've got. Or you will be killed. And they have killed thousands and thousands of people over the last month and a half. thousands of people. They have no mercy, and the goal today is to divide the Muslim nations into caliphs, into zones, where each territory will be ruled by a khalifa, and that khalifa, that caliph, will enforce Sharia law in that zone. And that's what ISIS is calling for. So a caliphate is an area where the people are ruled by a caliph who imposes Sharia law and enforces it. And that is what ISIS declared last month in southern Syria and in northern Iraq when they came marching in with a vengeance. Now, here is what happened, and everybody knows it in Washington, but of course, there is nothing being done. All right, here's what happened. Listen, you remember a couple of years ago in Libya, Ambassador Stevens was in Benghazi, and everybody knows this now. You can find this. You can find this all over the place. Everybody knows it. You can find it on senators' websites. You can find it on House websites. Everybody knows this. Ambassador Stevens was in Benghazi, although the capital of Libya is Tripoli. And that's where the ambassador, that's where the embassy is. But here was our ambassador in Benghazi. Now, if you're looking at a map, Tripoli is over here and Benghazi is over here. Like a 4-hour flight in a jet. And he is over in Benghazi negotiating how to get all of the weapons that the Obama administration and John Brennan, who is Obama's hand-appointed head of the CIA, who is, by the way, an avowed Muslim. Look it up. Avowed Muslim. And so Stevens was in Benghazi trying to get the weapons that the Obama administration and the CIA gave to the Libyan rebels to overthrow Muammar Gaddafi. And once that was done and Gaddafi was dead, they wanted to take those weapons and send them up to Erdogan in Turkey and have Turkey smuggle them down to the rebels in Damascus fighting against Assad to overthrow King Assad in Damascus, Syria. Everybody knows this. The House of Representatives knows this. The United States Senate knows this. The New York Times knows this. The Washington Compost knows this. They all know it. Is anything being done? They all know it. And the Libyans did not want to give those weapons up, so they attacked the embassy, killed Stevens and three others that came to try and get him out of there alive. Obama's Arab Spring has been just another example of community organizing that goes very bad, very fast, and only puts gasoline on a raging fire to make it worse. So the Arab Spring went raging into Syria a couple of years ago after Libya, and Brennan and Obama were smuggling arms into Syria to help the rebels there. And here's what happened. A radical element of the Syrian rebels got their hands on these weapons. You want to know who that radical group is? ISIS. They got their hands on all those weapons. And with their new shiny firepower, they decided that they were going to be good Muslims and sweep through southern Syria and into northern Iraq and establish a caliphate for Allah. And that's what we've been witnessing for the last month and a half. Now, when they started, Obama said, don't worry about them. They're just the junior squad. They're just the junior league. Don't worry about them. Well, when they marched in with our guns and with our trucks and our equipment and 10,000 of them come marching into city after city, and then they stop at each and every bank that they come across and steal every drachma they can get their hands on, it is estimated now that they have something like $2 billion. So you got that money and you got that many people and you've got that ideology. I think you're a pretty formidable foe that ought to be paid attention to. Now, when they sweep in, what do? They institute Sharia law. Sharia law is, in a nutshell, Islamic law. Sharia means, the word means, legislation. So here came ISIS, loaded with our trucks, our guns, our equipment, and they march into these cities, and they destroyed anything and everything that had to do with Christianity. Anything and everything. People, churches, mosques that weren't of their liking. They just ruthless people. And there are many Christian churches in northern Iraq. These Christians were told, convert, pay the tax, or be killed. And there are reports, depending on who you read and who you read after, but there are reports that tens of thousands have been slaughtered by these people. You see, when you think of Christianity, you think of Calvary. But when you think of Islam, you think of cavalry. There is a difference. And that's what they're doing. They are Allah's cavalry. The goal of Muhammad, the goal of the caliphs, and the goal of the coming Mahdi will be to advance the glory of Allah as the supreme God by jihad. It will be done first by invitation, but then by war until they are stopped by the Lord Jesus himself, who comes at the end of the tribulation period. Their goal is to get the whole world to say there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. Allah commands all of his followers to engage in the jihad until there is literally no one left on the earth who does not worship Allah. That's the goal. So the caliph is the supreme political, military, and administrative leader of Islam. Caliphs ruling over various areas will make up an Islamic caliphate. Now, here's a good little example of how to wrap your head around this concept of a caliphate. Many of you were saved out of Catholicism, so you're familiar with this. All right? The Roman Catholics view the Pope as the vicar of Christ. You remember that? They view the Pope as the vicar of Christ to Catholics worldwide. Well, the Muslims see the caliph in essentially the same way. The caliphs, the caliphs, are seen as the vicar of Muhammad. They speak on behalf of Muhammad. Now, you were taught in your catechism class to become a good Catholic that when the Pope speaks ex cathedra, it's as if Christ is speaking. He is the voice of God. All right? What the Pope says to Catholics is just as inspired as what is in your Bible. Now, there are some Catholics that don't believe that, but that is Catholic doctrine. That's what you're supposed to believe if you're a Catholic. And when he speaks, you're supposed to do what he says. You're supposed to believe what he says. He is the voice of Christ, the vicar of God. All right? And so the caliphs are seen as the voice of Muhammad. They are taking Muhammad's place. Muhammad's dead. He's not here anymore. And so the Muslims view the caliphs as being the voice of Muhammad. They speak on behalf of Muhammad. And the caliphate must be in place to present the Mahdi, the Islamic Messiah who is coming. The caliphate must be in place to present the Mahdi to the world. And earlier this month, we heard for the first time from a Muslim group, from ISIS, that the Islamic caliphate had begun. It had begun. Now, go over to the book of Matthew for just a moment. Matthew 24. Everybody follow me? All right, look please at verse 1. It says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, let me stop here and say that prophecy that Jesus spoke in verse 2 was fulfilled in 70 A.D. 70 A.D., the temple was destroyed. Verse 3. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." Isn't it strange that the Lord, his main concern in answering this question was that his people not be deceived? That's amazing. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I am, look at verse 5 again. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Messiah. That's what Christ means. Many will say, I am the Messiah. I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, you know, you're familiar with the rest of what he said there. Now, jump down to verse 23. Look at verse 23. After talking about the tribulation period in verse 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and right on down, talking about what's going to happen during the tribulation period, in verse 23, he says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Remember 2 Thessalonians 2? Where Paul said that the Antichrist is going to do great wonders, lies, signs, miracles. All right? Jesus said, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, and thank God it's not, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. He is in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The Lord Jesus made it very clear that in the last days, many deceivers would emerge claiming to be the Messiah and would lead people astray. Now, I think Christ is referring to the tribulation period here in these verses. It fits the context from the first part of the chapter. And with the church already raptured to heaven, this is a message of warning for the Jews not to fall for the lie of the devil that the Mahdi is the Messiah. Don't fall for it. So when they say, when the Muslims say, no, the Messiah is out in the desert. What's out in the desert? Well, Mecca is out in the desert. Medina is out in the desert. Babylon is out in the desert. And when they say, he is out in the desert, Jesus said, do not go out. But make no mistake, folks, when the Mahdi comes on the scene, he will proclaim himself as God's Messiah. So, the time is ripe for a revived Muslim caliphate. There is something we need to understand about the mindset of the Middle Eastern individual. They consider themselves as members of what they call one ummah, U-M-M-A-H, one ummah. A ummah is a community. This thought of all the Muslims being one is an idea that dominates the Muslim world. This sense of community, this loyalty to Muhammad and to Allah, even trumps family. That's why, folks, many Muslims do not hesitate to kill even their own children. They will kill their own children for turning their back on Islam. If you give up the Islamic faith, they'll kill you. Your own dad. And this kind of thing happens all the time. All the time. It's even happened here in the United States of America. And this is one reason why they must have Sharia law in place when the Mahdi starts his takeover of the world. For under Sharia law, this kind of murder is perfectly legal. It is perfectly legal. And that's why they have to have Sharia law in place. Now, of course, under the Constitution of the United States, murder is forbidden. Life is sacred and must be protected. And every citizen of this nation has a right to life. That was, of course, until Roe versus Wade, and then the unborn had that right taken away from them. But under the Constitution, we are guaranteed the right to life. Now, when you add to this, when you add that to this world view that the Muslims have, that they're going to dominate and conquer the world, and you add all of that to their sacred traditions, which are filled with prophecies foretelling the eventual triumph of Islam over the entire world, it only strengthens their resolve to bring to pass what they believe will be an Islamic worldwide domination. You see, Muslims have a sense of entitlement, believing that world domination is simply their destiny. They believe that. So for the past 90 years, after the caliphate was disbanded and their nation's, empire, the Ottoman Empire, was disallowed, for the last 90 years, the Muslim people have felt a deep disorder in the balance of power in the world. It's just everything's off. Rather than a united Islam under a caliph, the evil West has reduced them to a network of underachieving and defeated and backward third world nations. That's how they see it. And they've just been held down enough. That's their attitude. The evil West broke up their caliph and divided the caliphate, and then put evil, corrupt dictators in charge, and they're tired of it. And that's why the United States is seen as the great Satan. Because we are to blame. We are the problem. They saw themselves for over 1,400 years as the rulers of the Middle East. But after World War I, the great Satan came along and stripped them of their power and prestige. And folks, make no mistake about it. Honor and shame means everything to these people. And they blame their woes on the United States. One of the Taliban leaders, one of the guys that was held down at Gitmo. You remember a couple of weeks ago, Bo Bergdahl? All right. Well, we traded five really, really, really bad guys. Really, 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 really bad guys. And they knew how bad they were. We traded five of these murderers for Bo Bergdahl. And the man who was the security guard who watched over one of these bad guys and who knew him well, had built a relationship with him, when he was boarding the plane to be flown home, he turned around to the security guard, gave him an evil look, and said to him, I'll see you in New York City. In other words, the plan is to bring it here. That's the plan, folks. That's the plan. There was a story on Breitbart about a month ago. I saw it down at when I was down at the Sword, where a rancher along the Texas-Mexico border found a Urdu to English, English to Urdu dictionary along his fence. He said he figures it fell out of somebody's backpack. Now, do you know any Guatemalans trying to learn Urdu? You say, what's Urdu? That's Pakistan's language. Do you know any Guatemalans trying to learn Urdu? Do you know any Mexicans wanting to learn Urdu? No. They're here. They're here. Last week, last Friday, a Department of Homeland Security memo was released just before the closing of the day, just before 5 o'clock when they thought nobody would notice it. And it said that the DHS knows of at least 100 ISIS terrorists who were allowed into the country. If they know of 100, you can be assured there's a whole lot more than that. ISIS is using Twitter and Facebook, and they're daily sending messages to the White House warning Obama that they're coming. They're here, folks. Now, let me go back to my introduction. And you remember the Muslim man that got saved here in America? He knows Islam frontwards and backwards. He knows the Muslim mindset because, as he put it, he am one. But he starts reading the Old Testament prophets and he sees the Assyrian defeated. He reads the Old Testament scriptures and he sees the Babylonian destroyed. He reads the Old Testament scriptures and he sees Nimrod wasted. He reads the Old Testament scripture and he sees Pharaoh decimated. And then he reads Revelation and he sees the beast and he recognizes that this is Islam's promised Messiah, the Mahdi. But instead of the Mahdi winning and Islam dominating the world, the Mahdi is destroyed. Islam is crushed. And Jesus of the Bible sits upon the throne and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. Getting close, folks. Getting close.